The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This is what Orban does in Hungary. This is what was happening in Poland before the war. The whole idea was use the centralized state to crush any dissent. What about, again, the FCC, Donald Trump having the sole power to decide whether this network or other networks he doesn't like actually are on the air or not? That's what we're talking about here. Talk about the danger, the level of danger to American democracy.
Well, if you love Mussolini, you will love what Donald Trump is talking about for 2025. Mussolini followed the unitary executive theory, too, which meant total power to the dictator, no constraints. This is about as un-American, I think you will all agree, as anything I've ever heard. Now comes along Donald Trump, the first major candidate in American history to say outright, I want a presidential dictatorship.
Nations from Madison to Mussolini, all the power in the executive branch, the power to shut down TV stations, the power to prefer certain businesses to other businesses. It's exactly what fascists do.
This is their reaction to Donald Trump saying that he would come in and fire some of the bureaucrats, the deep state, the fourth branch of government. It uses executive power to actually direct the executive branch of government. And their heads collectively explode. We have gone from Madison to Mussolini, so says Morning Joe. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com, or you can join the conversation at Rumble. There's a live chat there that goes on during the program. And of course, you can leave comments at our Rumble channel. Just search for The Trumpet Daily. Leave us a comment and leave us the thumbs up Rumble as well. We appreciate your support. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. Of course, this is the first full day of activities for the summer educational program. It's a pretty hot one here in central Oklahoma. I think it's going to be hot tomorrow as well. But hopefully on Thursday, the temperatures will cool off. So we'd appreciate your prayers that God would just look after our wonderful young people. So many wonderful and bright and cheery and disciplined and obedient children roaming the campus over the next 2.5 weeks. We really do appreciate all the work and effort that their parents and families have put in to prepare them for experiences such as this. So, as per usual, you know, just picture Morning Joe with Morning Mika together over the breakfast table with their coffee and the New York Times. It's got to be the New York Times. I mean, this is where the talking points are established. And so they read the New York Times to figure out what they're going to say on Morning Joe. Because that's the script that they read from every day, every single day. This is the New York Times. It says, the former president and his backers aim to strengthen the power of the White House and limit the independence of federal agencies. How dare he limit the independence and the power of federal agencies? The agencies are to be revered. The unelected bureaucrats are gods. They are not to be questioned. They certainly shouldn't be fired. And this is happening, by the way. How rich is this? President Trump released a statement Sunday night saying that Jack Smith, the deranged lunatic of a prosecutor, that he's coming after him now on charges in Georgia, I believe it is, regarding the January 6th protest, or maybe contesting the election. I lose the details because there's so many. They got him on the clerical error. They got him on moving boxes. And now comes the so-called insurrection. Donald Trump led the movement. Trump announced on Sunday night that there's a third indictment coming. A third indictment coming from Joe Obama and Merrick Garland, coming from the deep state bureaucracy and federal agencies. And the New York Times is, they're talking about Donald Trump being a dictator. He's just into real estate, and he's at his home in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. He's the dictator? Well, you listen to Morning Joe, and of course, we've gone from Madison to Mussolini, just like this. I'll read Trump's statement in just a bit. The New York Times first. It says, Donald J. Trump and his allies are planning a sweeping expansion of presidential power over the machinery of government if voters return him to the White House in 2025. Reshape that. That's a pretty important detail that they just fly right over. Well, what if the voters want him to get in there and fire some of these bureaucrats? Just for fun, Google the longest federal job description or title. Here's one. The Acting VHA Associate Deputy Undersecretary for Health, Oversight, Risk, and Ethics. How would America survive if Donald Trump returned to office? Because the voters put him there. How could we possibly survive if the acting VHA, Associate Deputy Undersecretary for Health, Oversight, Risk, and Ethics got fired? Could we sustain that kind of a blow? It's ridiculous. Whoever the guy is, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy. But he's just a no-name bureaucrat. Nobody voted him into office. He's probably been in there 20 or 30 years. The American people actually, they have something to say about who's president and who isn't president. So if they vote in Donald Trump, Trump's coming in saying, I'm going to get rid of some of these guys. For sure. They are so far to the radical left, most in the deep state of government, that they're just absolutely terrified at the prospect of Donald Trump getting in there and firing guys with titles as long as that. It says here, their plans to centralize more power in the Oval Office stretch far beyond the former president's recent remarks that he would order a criminal investigation into the political rival, President Biden. Well, look at what Biden's doing with Trump. He's getting away with all these crimes. He's taking in money from the CCP. All of his family members, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, all of them. And here's the New York Times. What if Trump gets in and investigates Biden? How rich is this? Seriously. and then to imagine Joe Scarborough sitting at his breakfast table reading this. Oh, Mika, this is some good content. We've got to get on the air immediately. And we've got to discuss Madison to Mussolini. Hey, I like that. Madison to Mussolini. There we are. He's not even in office. Trump's been out of office for 2.5 years. It's the same old tired trope. They trot it out every day. Donald Trump, the bad orange man. It says here, Mr. Trump and his associates have a broader goal to alter the balance of power by increasing the president's authority over every part of the federal government that now operates by either law or tradition with any measure of independence from political interference by the White House, according to a review of his campaign policy proposals and interviews with people close to him. They've reviewed the agenda. They've looked at some of these policies. This just shows you how vast and far-reaching the power of the fourth branch of government has become. This is the New York Times. To alter the balance of power by increasing the president's authority over every part of the federal government that now operates by either law or tradition, even if it's traditional, these executive agencies, you cannot rein them in. That's the way the communists think. They keep pushing and pushing and pushing for more power, for growing the size of government, and when they get that additional power, they never, never, never rein it in. Never. Look at what Obama got in there and said, hey, I'll bypass Congress if I have to. Now, that's clearly unconstitutional. This is Donald Trump saying, when I'm the executive, when I'm the chief executive, I'm going to be in charge of the executive branch. And they hate it. They hate it because they don't want to see any of these agencies, which by tradition have operated independently. They have no oversight except the president, of course. So this isn't Donald Trump expanding his presidential powers. For one, he's not even president yet. So hold your horses, Joe. He's not even president. But he's basically saying, if I become chief executive, I'm going to be running the executive branch. Good for him. Imagine Americans voting for someone with a policy or an agenda such as that. No wonder he's so popular. And then you see the heads exploding, all of the talking heads. This woman here, I think she's on MSNBC now. She used to work for the Trump campaign. This is clip two.
The one that stands out to me, and I've kind of been raising alarm bells about, is this effort to basically eliminate the civil service, or basically make it so it's so much easier to fire career subject matter experts. That is an effort to make the government purely partisan and a staffed with loyalists who are going to carry out his agenda. And having been in the Trump White House during COVID, I can't even really express how dangerous that would be had we not had experts there.
Wow, how dangerous it would be to not have the experts. How would America survive if we didn't have the experts? How would America survive if we lost our assistant deputy undersecretary of veteran affairs for health, for policy, and for services? How would we survive it? How could we survive without Tony Fauci? That's what she's saying. But these people they're mad. They're deranged on so many different levels. The president, he's the one officer that the Americans actually have a say in. Well, unless they cheat, of course, on the other side, which they did in 2020. It's as if the Constitution says, thou shalt not rein in the power of big government, big, bloated, powerful government. Thou shalt not fire anyone that works in one of these executive branch agencies. Certainly not. The Constitution says, on the other hand, that there are three branches, supposed to be three, now there's four, but probably five, throw in the media, the regime media. But there's supposed to be three, and there's checks and balances between the Supreme Court, Congress, and the executive branch. And you'll notice these vicious attacks against the Supreme Court, all the conservative justices, because this is the one branch that the communist left does not fully control. So they're going after the Supremes. It's nonstop. They're out of session right now, but they are coming under fire. It's relentless, these attacks from the communist left. But they've got total control of the fourth branch, the bureaucracy, the deep state. They control the regime media. I mean, you saw it this morning. Scarborough opens up the New York Times and says, oh, here's our segment one. The New York Times says here, Mr. Trump intends to bring independent agencies like the Federal Communication Commission, which makes and enforces rules for television and internet companies, and the Federal Trade Commission, which enforces various antitrust and other consumer protection rules against businesses under direct presidential control. In other words, he's going to guide or direct these agencies. And then Scarborough's head explodes. Control of the FCC. He might come after MSNBC. Scarborough now, he's really concerned about censorship, you see. These people have been censoring the conservative right for years. Social media, regime media, all of them. Trump says, I want to come in and make sure that there's free speech. That's really what he's lobbying for. He's arguing for. They don't want to give up any control. They want total control. They want no opposition. They want Trump in jail. They want another indictment. The third one will come soon. Then they're going to go and try to get a fourth one. No doubt. These people are being exposed. They're being exposed for the radical communists that they are. Look at how long it's taken them to build up and establish this cherished bureaucratic deep state government. That even if it's only tradition, you leave them alone. I mean, look at how Vindman, I mean, he saved the country, right? because he knew a little bit about this conversation between Donald Trump and Zelensky. It got Trump impeached. Vindman, I mean, that is a whistleblower we can really get behind and defend. The ones exposing Merrick Garland, Hunter Biden, Joe Obama, well, they're threats to the bureaucracy. They got to be attacked. We've got to, in fact, I gave you that story last week. They were going after the one whistleblower that's got the goods, that's got the receipts on the Biden crime family, receiving millions from overseas, foreign nationals, foreign companies, adversaries in some cases. And so what does Merrick Garland do? Go after that whistleblower, put him in jail. That's what we're trying to do with Trump. And then Scarborough and company are there to say, I can't believe this is a presidential dictatorship, this president who's not even a president. Listen to this one. This is from, did I play this? Listen to Eugene Robinson. Here again, he reads the New York Times first thing in the morning, and he's got the talking points down to a T for sure. Clip three.
I mean, this is textbook fascism, and it's outrageous. It's incredibly dangerous, not just to our system of democracy and our democratic values. It's just dangerous because he's talking about wanting to essentially fire the people in the federal bureaucracy who know how to run things.
Fire the people who know how to run things. How dare he? This is textbook fascism. Okay. Textbook fascism. We've got Mussolini residing down in Mar-a-Lago. What a danger that is to democracy. The threat to democracy. All of these communists, they wax eloquent about the threats to their power. That's what it means. Translation, threat to democracy means a threat to their communist rule. The New York Times, it says here, Mr. Trump intends to bring independent agencies like the Federal under direct presidential control. I read that to you. It says he wants to revive the practice of impounding funds, refusing to spend money Congress has appropriated for programs a president doesn't like, a tactic that lawmakers banned under President Nixon. Oh, they throw in Nixon. That's perfect. Yeah, Mussolini. Let's see, fascism. Presidential dictatorship for sure. And oh, Richard Nixon. The boogeyman. There you go. It says here, he intends to strip employment protections from tens of thousands of career civil servants, making it easier to replace them if they are deemed obstacles to his agenda. Imagine a president coming in and appointing people that he wants to carry out his agenda, which Americans would have presumably voted for. You think the New York Times would have taken this position when Obama comes in and cleans house, cleans the military? Puts in Obama acolytes. For sure he did that. Did it for 8 years. And then look at what his deep state did to President Trump. The moment he came down the escalator, certainly after he shocked the world and defeated Hillary Clinton, it says here, and he plans to scour the intelligence agencies, the State Department, and the defense bureaucracies to remove officials he has vilified as the sick political class that hates our country. No wonder he's so popular. If that's his agenda, that's why people are voting for him. That's why he leaves that conference in Florida with like that 60% lead, 60-point lead over the next in line on the straw poll that they had. The thing that's, again, the thing that's especially rich is that this New York Times piece perfectly describes the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Trump said this on Truth Social the other night. He says, deranged Jack Smith, the prosecutor with Joe Biden's DOJ, sent a letter Sunday night stating that I am a target of the January 6th grand jury investigation and giving me a very short 4 days to report to the grand jury, which almost always means an arrest and indictment. So now, here's Trump. So now, Joe Biden's attorney general, Merrick Garland, together with Joe Biden's Department of Justice, Injustice, have effectively issued a third indictment and arrest of Joe Biden's number one political opponent. Who is the real presidential dictator? That would be the dear leader. That would be the one who's giving the marching orders to Merrick Garland, to Joe Biden, to who just announced, by the way, that his campaign for re-election is going to be, it's going to be headquartered in Wilmington. That's right. A return to the basement. Perfect. It's perfect. Go back to the basement, Joe. Go back to the basement. We'll take everything for you. We've got the largest, most extensive voter fraud organization in history, after all. It says here, nothing like this has ever happened in our country before, writes Trump, or even close. They illegally spied on my campaign, attacked me with a totally fake dossier that was funded by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC, impeached me twice. They failed on the Mueller witch hunt. No collusion. They failed on Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, the 51 intelligence agents fraud, the FBI Twitter files, the DOJ Facebook censorship, and every other scam imaginable. But on top of all of that, they've now effectively indicted me 3 times. And yet the regime media, what's the talking point today? It's Trump. It's Trump who's the dictator. It's Trump who's abusing his power. It's the guy who's not in power, potentially, maybe, abusing his power. Thought crimes. That's what they're going after. You see it over and again. They go on and on about what might could happen. Well, think about what? Think about the white supremacy that could lead to this possible crime. This is in the book, America Under Attack. As I say, everything the Times is talking about is a perfect description of Barack Hussein Obama. Let me clarify that. It's not quite perfect because Obama was far worse than anything the New York Times is describing. I mean, the Times is bent out of shape because it doesn't want a chief executive running the executive branch, certainly not a conservative one. Now, when the communist is in there, I mean, not only is the Times fine with Obama appointing all of its people or his people, they're fine with Obama going right around the congressional branch. Sure, shred the Constitution. As long as we can get the Obama agenda down the throats of American people, that's all that matters. This is from AUA. It says here, well, it quotes Obama. This is what he said in 2013, his State of the Union. I urge this Congress to pursue a bipartisan market-based solution to climate change. But if Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will. I will, said King Obama. I will direct my cabinet to come up with executive actions we can take now and in the future. We'll just do it from the executive branch. We'll take control. And what did the New York Times do or say in response to that? What did Scarborough say? What did Mika say? What did Eugene Robinson say? Nothing. Nothing. It says here, Obama took these types of actions with unequaled frequency. Such actions conditioned people's minds to accept executive orders that were primarily intended to circumvent Congress and the Constitution. It says this moved the nation dramatically toward rule by dictatorship or tyranny. This is what my father was writing years ago in response to the Dear Leader. Fundamentally transform the United States of America. Shred the Constitution on the way. Forget about it. I mean, we don't want the Constitution to restrict our actions. It's a charter of negative liberties, said Obama, years before he even became president of the United States. Shred the Constitution, bypass Congress. Like with the health care plan, that was back in 2009. Just ram it down the throats. Ram it down. Not one Republican got on board with that. The Supreme Court very nearly turned it over. But they were too weak to stand up to the Dear Leader. So they just ram it down, never mind what's in it, 2,000 pages. Nancy Pelosi says we need to hurry and pass it so that we can read it, so we can figure out what's in it. Talk about unconstitutional. We had an article, this is back in 2016. It was titled The Rise of the Super President. And in this article, I think Andrew Miller wrote it, it's talking about some of these same statements. Another one that Obama gave in 2014 where he just said, hey, we can circumvent Congress, no problem. I'm the Dear Leader. I'll go right around Congress if I have to. I've got a pen. I've got a phone. This is from that June 2016 trumpet. It says no president since World War II has openly justified executive overreach by saying that it was necessary to circumvent legislatures because they refused to do what he wanted. I mean, this was unprecedented. No president had ever said anything like this. No president had ever done anything like this. At the trumpet, it says, in saying this, President Obama was articulating the philosophy that has increasingly defined his presidency. I can't wait for Congress to do its job. So where it won't act, I will. I'll just do it myself. I'll just do it by executive action. It says here, Georgetown law professor Jonathan Turley, again, this is an article from 7 years ago. Jonathan Turley, a political liberal, was one of the few legal minds at the time warning of the danger behind the executive power grab. And it quotes Turley, "The system of separation of powers was not created to protect the authority of each branch for its own sake," he wrote. "Rather, it is the primary protection of individual rights because it prevents the concentration of power in any one branch. In this sense, Obama is not simply posing a danger to the constitutional system. He has become the very danger that separation of powers was designed to avoid." He was a danger, a threat to democracy, a threat to the Constitution. In fact, he was shredding it. Turley went on to warn this. "The United States is at a constitutional tipping point. The rise of the Uber presidency, unchecked by the other two branches. America has moved into a dangerous era where the only constraints on presidential power are no longer constitutional, merely political." See, it was Obama who politicized everything. It was Obama who stacked the DOJ and the FBI and the IRS with left-wing bureaucrats. And the thought of any one of them getting fired, well, you see the reaction in the clips that I've played. They are terrified at the thought of Donald Trump returning to office. They don't want to lose one inch, one millimeter of the gains that they've made over the past many decades. They don't want to lose any of their stranglehold, any power, their stranglehold on power. Says here, "The growing dominance of the federal government over the states has obscured more fundamental changes within the federal government itself," Turley wrote. "It is not just bigger, it is dangerously off-kilter. Our carefully constructed system of checks and balances is being negated by the rise of a fourth branch, an administrative state of sprawling departments and agencies that govern with increasing autonomy and decreasing transparency." He's describing the deep state 7 years ago, before anyone ever talked about a deep state. He's describing it perfectly, and it's so much worse today. This is why they so viciously attacked Trump for 4 years. For 6 years, seven, it continues to this day. Another indictment coming from Jack Smith, the communist prosecutor, and the New York Times is warning its audience today or its readers today. I think we've gone from Madison to Mussolini, I'm afraid. If Trump gets back in there, I mean, for sure, that's where we are. It says this so-called fourth branch of government now has a large impact on American citizens. Now has a larger impact on American citizens than the other three branches combined. That's from the Trumpet magazine in June of 2016. The rise of the super president, the power and the control of this sprawling government apparatus. They just got 87,000 new IRS agents. What do you suppose they're there to do? To take more freedom and money away from you, of course. And to give it to this Leviathan, to give it to this supersized government in Washington, D.C., how dare Donald Trump come along and say, hey, we might have to get rid of the acting VHA associate deputy undersecretary for health oversight, risk, and ethics. It's so laughable. It really is. It's also painful to see your country dying. Says the rise of the administrative state didn't begin with President Obama. This dangerous problem has been growing for over a century, since the Woodrow Wilson administration at least. Yet the Obama administration has used the powers of the executive bureaucracy to micromanage people's lives to a level unprecedented in American history. And see, they don't kick and scream very often, even when Republicans get in there, because, you know, the McCain, Romney, Bush types, they don't push back against this Leviathan. They just play along. It's a uniparty. And the one person who promises to come in and break it up, he's public enemy number one as far as the deep state goes. They have to destroy him. It explains so much about why these attacks are never ending. If he wasn't running for president again, there would be no indictments for something as stupid as moving a box. They might, if it was a fair system, they'd be going after the other guy who still has boxes all over the place full of classified documents. It's no problem for the dear leader and his puppet to get away with it, for sure. It says 4 decades ago, Richard Nixon was impeached on charges related to illegal wiretapping in the Watergate incident. Now the Obama administration can use its National Security Agency to illegally spy on the private conversations of U.S. lawmakers without any serious opposition whatsoever. This was 2016. We didn't even know at the time that Obama was going to use the security state apparatus to spy on his political opponent. He did. He listened in. He wiretapped Trump, all things Trump. And they got caught. And nobody got punished. And so they continue. And so it continues. I've got another story. I had it yesterday. I didn't have time to get to it. And I'm looking at the clock thinking, we probably won't have time again today. But let's take a quick break. Everybody can just take a deep breath, calm down, and we'll come back for more content here in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you want to email the program, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
The 2023 summer educational program is now underway. The Philadelphia Church of God summer camp program follows the model that Mr. Armstrong established in the Worldwide Church of God. The Summer Educational Program, or SEP, aims to educate and inspire the church's teenagers, promoting character growth through physically and mentally stimulating activities. The PCG sponsors youth camps in the United States, Australia, and the Philippines. These camp sessions include various sports, classes, and activities designed to build godly character in a wholesome, fun environment. After the ministerial conference ended on July 11th this year, Herbert W. Armstrong College students and PCG staff members quickly pivoted to preparing for the headquarters youth camp. Camp staff cleaned dorm rooms and facilities, prepared sports fields and gear, distributed staff and camper shirts and other supplies, planned and organized camp activities, and performed other necessary tasks in the few days before summer camp started. On Sunday, July 16th, the Celtic Throne cast and crew performed their last show of the 2023 summer tour. Some campers arrived in Edmond a day early to watch the show. Then on July 17th, campers began to check in at the John Amos Fieldhouse. Counselors and assistant counselors took the campers to their dorms to drop off their belongings. That evening, SEP Director Mr. Stephen Flurry gave the orientation lecture, providing campers with the camp theme and with insight into what they could expect for the camp session.
So make every day count. Take action every day. Action this camp. Don't squander this opportunity. Don't let a good opportunity pass you on by. Embrace this. Embrace this vision. Embrace the activity. Don't mumble, don't grumble, don't complain. Even when you're sore, that's a real challenge. When you're sore or when you're tired or when it's an activity maybe you don't like as much, it's hard in those cases to push yourself. But this year, push yourself through. This year, see how much you can give of yourself.
During SEP, many PCG staff members and AC students leave their normal work responsibilities to serve as counselors or activity instructors. Incoming freshmen often help out on the landscaping or custodial crews, which are always shorthanded during summer camp. The kitchen staff in particular has a big job during SEP. Volunteers from field congregations provide essential support during this busy time.
18 volunteers coming in this year, and we're doing somewhere of 600 plates a day. So that's a lot more than we're used to. We have 1,800 volunteer man hours between those volunteers. Absolutely could not do it without them. There's no way.
SEP staff work together to provide PCG youth with a wonderful, educational, and fun summer camp session, teaching the teens many valuable lessons that they can take home with them. To learn more about the work of the Philadelphia Church of God, please visit pcg.church.
There you go, your latest segment, news of the work about our SEP program. Didn't realize I was going to make the cut there in that video footage. This year for SEP, I'm serving as the acting SEP Associate Deputy Undersecretary for Health, Risk, Ethics, for all of the youth attending SEP. You know who Donald Trump should fire is the guy who comes up with the job titles and job descriptions for the deep state bureaucracy. That, if he's listening, this is my recommendation. Get in office, take the guy out, and just say, you know, this guy is so-and-so's assistant. He's an assistant manager at this department. Just a suggestion. But some of these titles are ridiculously long. Ridiculous. You don't even know what they mean. You don't even know. I think firing a few bureaucrats, just to simplify things, the title, I think, in some ways says a lot. Samuel needs to come up with a longer title. Next time I cite one of his news items that he's collected and gathered, I'll rattle off his new and improved job title. Wait for it. It'll come at some point, just out of the blue. And those of you that saw today's program, you'll know. You'll know what it means. All right, let's get more serious. Transition into the study that we, a very serious and deep study, actually, yesterday, that we were going throughout most of the program. We were talking about how that the Bible is our guidebook for living. It's our instruction manual. It's the laws of God that reflect His divine nature and character, His perfect and pure character. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple." In the Bible, God is, He is described as the master potter, and we're the clay. So He's shaping and molding us. He wants us to really stay within the bounds of His holy law. That holy and perfect law, it will convert the soul if we yield to, if we submit to the government of God, if we're led by the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love and obedience the spirit of power, the spirit of life, the spirit of a sound mind, all of those things. The Bible is, my father said recently, he gave a lecture to us in the ministry, and he's talking about this psalm, Psalm 19. He says in his margin, it says, the Bible is more perfect than all of the heavenly laws. I mean, God sustains his material creation with certain fixed and definite laws. Just as sure as the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening. Certain fixed laws, you see it all throughout God's material creation. And all of those laws are a reminder for us that in the spiritual realm, the spiritual laws work the same way. The law of love toward God, putting God first and above all else, and then loving your neighbor, I should say God and his family, but then loving your neighbor as yourself. The reason the world is about to explode in violence and suffering is because we're not obeying these spiritual laws. The two great commands that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 22, of course, spreading out further, the Ten Commandments of God is Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. Let me just read to you this correspondence course quote. I think I might have given you this yesterday right at the end, but it says, "Few people seem to know that the Bible is actually the Maker's instruction book to the mankind he designed, created, and made. It's the guidebook instructing us how to live, how to use this most wonderful mechanism ever produced to secure the intended results of happiness, joy, peace, security, freedom from fears and worries, good, vibrant, energetic health, perfection of righteous spiritual character, and finally, eternal life in the kingdom of God." It says, yet almost no one uses this very word of God for its intended purposes. People don't use the Bible. Well, I mean, forget about using it. They don't even read it. Yesterday, I played those clips from Tucker Carlson. At least he's reading it. You got to give him credit. He said, I mean, you think about just what that man has done in his life. What did he say? I forget the direct quote, but he said, "I started reading the Bible in February, and it's the most exciting thing I've ever read." I mean, that's saying something. He's pretty well read. He doesn't watch TV. If you've ever heard him talk about his routine, he likes to fish, he loves his family, and he reads and he reads and he reads. Now he's reading the Bible. In the Bible it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Just show me. Show me. These are prayers. These are hymns that David recorded, David and others, in the book of Psalms. David crying, you can imagine him out in the middle of the night looking up at the stars and then crying out to God in prayer, "Teach me your ways. Keep me on your path. Keep me on the straight and narrow way." And God saw fit to record those songs, those poems, for our benefit and learning, for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10. Such a wonderful book. How thankful are you for the Holy Bible, for the Word of God, given by inspiration of God? And you can look at that word inspiration in 2 Timothy 3 and see that it means God breathed. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ in print. Of course it's exciting. Of course it's a wonderful study. This is God we're talking about. Psalm 119, verse 35, it says, "Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight." That's a pretty straightforward way to look at the commandments of God. Help me to go within the path of your commandments. The commandments, you see, they show us the way to go. There's a built-in thou shalt not and a thou shalt in each one of them. It says in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Mr. Armstrong said this in the autobiography. I mentioned that book the other day, and I plugged it last night in front of all the campers. I said, look, if you want to be a young person of ambition who really does get to do great things in life because of your service to God, You've got to be thoroughly grounded in the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong, also the Seven Laws of Success. Just valuable instruction and admonition for young people. And they're at such a crucial time in their life. Mr. Armstrong in The Missing Dimension in Sex says it's the all-important preparatory years between ages about 16 to 25. When you're in that bracket, I mean, you can really accumulate some advanced learning and fast and gain valuable experience and set your life on proper on the proper course that it needs to be on. You start off as a 16-year-old and you get on the right path. I mean, God will lead you. Well, like the proverb even says, he'll lead you before kings even. Look at how many of our students, and we don't have that many, just 65 or 70. And yet you've got 10 or 12 over in Jerusalem excavating at the Ophel, just at the south of the Temple Mount. The holy city, the city God has chosen. Some of them are off to Edstone after the excavation ends. Some are heading back here to Edmond. Many of our students are working camp right now. All of these just exciting, these exciting experiences and opportunities. It's always that way with God's work. We tell our young people, just immerse your heart into the work. And you see the way that this work has grown and expanded over the past 30-some years. That's what will happen in your life as well. If you just kind of piggyback your activities to the work of the church. And really, I mean, Psalm 37 talks about the desires of your heart. God wants to give you those. He wants to give you those if you're young or old. But, of course, if you study into the entirety of that psalm, the goal from God's perspective is to get you and me to really set our hearts on God's desires, his desires. And then if we do, I mean, we're going to have... I mean, our own desires are going to be fulfilled as well because God is involved. God's at the center. Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't forget about that. And then all of these things will be added unto you. God will see to it. The problem is people get the priorities out of whack. They seek their own things. They seek their own righteousness, not God's. They don't set their minds on the kingdom of God. They set their minds on materialism, physical things. And then God, you know, that's sort of a hobby over here in the corner. Maybe it's a Sunday thing, or even Sabbath keepers could certainly fall into that trap of just sort of being religious on one day of the week and not really living the way of God all through the week. Mr. Armstrong writes in the autobiography, the Bible alone of all books or sources of knowing reveals basic purposes. It alone reveals the inexorable yet invisible laws that regulate cause and effect, action and reaction, that govern all relationships, that produce happiness, peace, well-being, prosperity. It says the Bible is a guidebook of vital principles to be applied to circumstances, conditions, and problems. It's our guidebook, you see. It shows us the way. It's the lamp that we put before our feet in this very dark world. We need it. We need it for guidance daily. Search the scriptures like the Bereans did in Acts 17. Search the scriptures daily. You can look into that word search. God is praising them there. They were more noble than the brethren in Thessalonica because of the way that they diligently searched the scriptures. They were just more into their Bible study than the brethren in Thessalonica. That's not just a passing statement. God wants us to pause on that. It's Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. You can look at it later. Be noble. Be royal in your Bible study. Study like a king. I mentioned the example yesterday from Deuteronomy 18, where God gave the kings of Israel this charge. He said, write it out. Write out the law of God. God wants us to write it in our hearts. And in some cases, I mean, there's a lot to be said for even physically writing it out like we suggest you do with our correspondence course. If you haven't enrolled in that course, by the way, 36 lessons, I mean, you add that to Mystery of the Ages, you're going to come through a study of Mystery of the Ages and the Correspondence Course and have a pretty good understanding of the Bible. I mean, you read it straight through like Tucker if you want, but we have lots of aids and supports and helps that will really help you to understand the Bible. That's what Mr. Armstrong was so excited about when he handed out Mystery of the Ages to that sophomore class in 1985. He said, this book, Mystery of the Ages, this book will help you understand the Bible. Why should there be so much confusion and disagreement when it comes to the meaning of the Word of God? It's God's Word, after all. Well, the reason there's so much confusion and disagreement over the Word of God is because people won't submit to the principles and the laws outlined in Scripture. They'd rather worship the human will, their own opinions, or do their own thing, never mind what the Bible actually says in Romans 1 or wherever. People aren't willing to live it. They don't want to put it into practice. They want to do what seems right in their own eyes. And what does the proverb say? There is a way. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We can't settle for doing what seems right. We have to do what's right as God defines it. That's why we need this holy book. Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, it says, therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep these commandments, God said to ancient Israel, because in doing so, you'll be strong. You'll be blessed. I gave you that verse yesterday, 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Can you see it in these scriptures I'm giving you? God wants to bless us. God wants to experience the good life, the abundant life, John 10:10. God wants us to be strong. And here's the way to strength, to prosperity and health. Commandment keeping. That's how we get there. Notice verse 26. This is down in, again, Deuteronomy 11. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of God, the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Can't we see and understand that by setting his law before us, God is actually showing us the way to happiness, to happy, joyful, abundant living? God's not trying to deprive us of anything good. He has definite don'ts built into the laws, but he has the do nots or the thou shalt nots there because he wants to protect us from curses, from scars, from suffering, from pain. God wants to give us every good thing. But you see, there's this law, the law of cause and effect. And Moses, I mean, he repeats this principle throughout this book of Deuteronomy, this book of law, this book about law. He repeats it over and again. He says, if you do this, if you obey these commandments, then you'll reap this. You'll experience these abundant blessings. If you do this over here, however, if you sin, if you transgress, then you're going to be pummeled with curses. So choose the way of blessings. Choose the way that leads to eternal life. Choose to live according to the commandments of God. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on Rumble. Don't forget to send us some feedback. TD@thetrumpet.com. We thank you, as always, for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.